Hello and welcome. This is the SDF Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net for the 5th of July 2021. That's Sierra Delta Foxtrot, the Super Dimension Fortress. If you are not familiar with SDF, it's a public access Unix system. You can learn more by directing your web browser to sdf.org. I will pause now to allow for priority traffic or to let you disconnect if you don't want to stay for the net. Right. I am Alpha Bravo 9 Foxtrot Juliet, the net control operator today. My name is Wayne, and I am located in Urbana, Illinois. My SDF username is JWH. This net meets every Monday at 0 hour Zulu via Echolink node 9229, the TechLink conference. We would like to thank Michael, BE7KI, for letting us use this conference for our net. This is a directed net. That means that if you have something to say, give your call sign and wait for the net control to acknowledge you and give you the floor. Our net is open to all radio amateurs and is not restricted to members of the SDF Amateur Radio Club. We like to have a question of the week to kickstart our discussions. And this week, I don't have one. I think this is going to be an extremely short net. It's the 4th of July here in North America, mainly in the United States. So I imagine that the usual suspects are out at the barbecue, on the patio, grilling something on the Barbie, so to speak. And I see no call signs in the Echolink dashboard there. It's possible that we have a link with one of the other conferences, like HAM. So I will call for check-ins. I don't have anything on my list right now, so if you are listening and want to check into our little net here, please come now with your call sign. I can take several in a row, so you don't have to do onesies. And, let's hear from you. Yeah, kind of what I suspected. Hearing nobody, I'm going to hang around for a while here until, maybe half to the bottom of the hour, perhaps, in case somebody shows up late. So that's about all, I guess, until somebody shows up. This is AB9FJ with the SDF Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net. I see VK6BQQ on the dashboard here. Hello, Reg. I thought this was going to be a no-hitter net, no check-ins, but maybe we'll have one or two. As I explained before, this is the 4th of July holiday in the U.S., so I'm guessing that a lot of our usual suspects are out having the typical summer holiday meal. Anyway, what's up with you there, Reg?
AB9FJ, VK6BQQ. Well, we're just getting up here, getting the garbage bins out. It's Monday morning, and it's been raining and carrying on, my goodness. But, hey, we're still kicking, and I get more pop-ups on this crazy thing. Anyway, yeah, all good. Well, that's no excuse. They should be here. You know, radio is important, so we need to chastise those folks that aren't here. Anyway, good morning, Wayne, from West Australia.
I know, right. They're letting the team down. And I'm thinking, West Australia, do you get a lot of rain out there? I thought that was pretty dry, so that you would welcome some precipitation.
It's winter time here, and in Perth, that's what we get in the winter, is rain. And I like it because it's not white and I don't have to shovel it and it goes right down the drain.
yeah, I dig it. Okay. And, you want the soil to be moist so that your flowers can bloom, right?
Well, that's right. You know, in Canada we say April showers brings the May flowers and all that, but down here everything's reversed. Or at least ahead. So, yeah. I think spring's coming here shortly from what they say.
Yeah, everything's kind of getting changed around a little bit there. The malaria belt is moving north, so I understand. So, you know, we used to have malaria in the southern states here, and we may get it again. We'll see.
Well, as they say, it's not over till it's over. Now there's something out called a Delta Plus. I don't know. They're calling it all sorts of names. It's like a hurricane, isn't it?
I would not pay a whole lot of attention to that. You got reporters who are... They don't entirely understand the scientists, so they're listening to the scientists, and then they're running back to their terminals or their laptops or whatever and writing up a story, and they've got to add some punch to it, you know, because the scientists are not into, you know, putting punch into their stories, right? So I just ignore most of those journalists. Look around and find the ones that seem to know what they're talking about rather than the ones that are going for the dramatic headlines. The ones who know what they're talking about are not going to be putting out dramatic headlines. They'll have more the more boring headlines, but if you read between the lines, you'll know which ones know what they're talking about.
Well, there must be very few of those around, because a lot of them are just like politicians. They know nothing either. Unbelievable. It was a fellow, Edward R. Murrow. Yeah, I think that was his name many moons ago. He seemed to know what we was talking about, but I haven't heard anybody like him since.
I know what you're talking about, and I feel kind of the same way. But even icons like Murrow and Cronkite, they had their weak points too, so you have to take it in stride. But yes, nowadays, especially on certain news channels, the qualification is not journalistic integrity and competence. It's a pretty face, or a combative attitude. They have different motivation. You know, I mean, all of the media are in the business to make money, and some of them are in the business to do some other nefarious things at the same time. So this is the SDF Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net, and not the SDF Weekly Rant about cable news.
Well, that's not bad. At least the two of us are here. The commentator and the agitator.
Well, I have to be careful. I think we're being recorded, or, well, you know, maybe not. I see the view meter over there on Winamp is flat, so I don't know what's happening here. Well, I'm recording it, so if necessary, I can provide for the archives, but I think this particular week's net is going to be hello, we just got the ham conference joining us. All right, I better get my script back out here and prepare to reintroduce the net. There's John there. Hi, John. Give me a minute there, and I'll be back and start over. For those of us who are just joining, or those of you who are just joining us, let me rewind here and just start over. That's probably simplest. So, this is the SDF Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net for the 5th of July, 2021. That's Sierra Delta Foxtrot, the Super Dimension Fortress. And if you're not familiar with SDF, it's a public access Unix system. And you can learn more by directing your web browser to sdf.org. I am Alpha Bravo 9 Foxtrot Juliet, the net control operator today. My name is Wayne, and I'm located in Urbana, Illinois. My SDF username is JWH. This net meets every Monday at 0 hour Zulu via Echolink Node 9229, the TechLink Conference. We thank Michael, VE7KI, for allowing us to use this conference for our net. This is a directed net. That means that if you have something to say, give your call, wait to be acknowledged by the NC. The net is open to all radio amateurs and is not restricted to members of the SDF Amateur Radio Club. We usually like to have a question of the week, but no, not this week. We thought we were going to have a no-hitter net this week, but maybe not. We're still, the jury is still out on that. So I can take a bunch of check-ins. I mean, you don't have to do one at a time. You can queue them up, and I'll make a note of them and add them to my list, and then I'll go down my list and give everybody a chance to talk. So, since the only people in EchoLink are Reg and me, the only other source of check-ins would be the Ham Conference. So, all of you guys out there on the Ham Conference, if you're wanting to check into our little net here, please call now.
Hey, VKH Race JQ. Yeah, sorry we're a bit late. We had one net cross over to another net, and then they went on a bit longer and crosses over to the other one. So, better late than never, I always say. Anyway, good morning from down under.
And VK2DY, Robert in Sydney.
Oh, I better say my call sign too, VKH Race JQ. Don't think I mentioned that, but anyway, you probably know who it is.
Well, yeah. By this time, I recognize your voices. So, I've got VK3HJQ and VK2DY. Anybody else on the Ham Conference there? Okay, all right. Well, John, you were first. I don't know. Do you have anything to say? Anything exciting happening over there in your neck of the woods?
VK3HJQ. Well, good morning. What time is it? 10:15 AF. Just listening to the local news. The Premier Anastasia is on. Oh, no, some of the bloke's on now. Four new cases confirmed as being Alpha strain. What's the Alpha strain? I thought they were under the Delta strain. Maybe the Alpha one's a different one. I think that's the UK one. I don't know. Anyway, it looks like we've got four new cases in Queensland, none in Victoria, and I don't know about New South Wales. What they do, Wayne, is every morning they have the premiers of each state, all the states that have cases come up, usually from about 15 minutes ago, and take up most of the morning of the news here. So I wonder which one the Alpha strain is. Maybe somebody knows it. I don't know if that's the UK one. Alpha is the UK one, and I just got a Skype message. See how the system works, Wayne? You just ask the question here, and you get a message on Skype from the UK saying the Alpha one, Kent, UK. Did it start in Kent? Well, Dave, GWASL, they can keep it over there. Thanks, Wayne. Back to that. 6 degrees here, freezing cold, but, you know, expect that in winter. Thanks for running. Big HJQ.
Okay. Well, yeah, I was going to say, I think that's the one from England that they used to call B117, or, well, maybe. But, what's the vaccination rate like down under there? Do you have plenty of vaccine to go around? Are people taking it?
Big HJQ, sorry, hit the wrong button there. I'm trying to type on Skype. It's absolutely hopeless. I think we've got 4 million out of 26 million vaccinated now. Pathetic. Nobody wants to take AstraZeneca because of all these problems with blood clotting, so they're basically going to can that in October now, so basically won't be able to have AstraZeneca after October. They haven't got enough Pfizer in the country. They've ordered a stack of Moderna as well. Now they're saying people under 40 can get AstraZeneca because we have warehouses full of it and nobody wants it. So yeah, a lot of scaremongering going on the news. That's the problem. And they're saying now 1 in 20 to 40,000 people are having problems with this AstraZeneca one. And they reckon if they gave it to everybody, they'd have 2 to 4 cases a day of people with problems with this blood clotting. So basically they're saying now, don't take that one. Either hang on for the other one, which will be here the last quarter of the year. So basically the story is, Wayne, we don't have enough of the good vaccine at the moment there, over.
All right. Well, that's too bad. Well, they tell us that we're swimming in vaccine here in the U.S., and we've got all these idiots who think that, oh, I think I'll wait. Let's test it some more. I mean, 300 million, let's go for a billion. I don't know what these people are thinking. So, but anyway, they're just filling the warehouses, and pretty soon there won't be enough warehouse space for the, because they're still making them as fast as they can, right? So maybe some of it will start spilling over into the rest of the world for you guys. I hope so. All right, over to Robert. God, my brain was freezing up there. VK2DY, it's your turn.
Good morning. This is Robert, Victor Kilo 2, Delta Yankee in Kellyville Ridge, New South Wales, but all part of the urban sprawl that is Sydney. It's up to 8 degrees now Celsius. We got down to 1.6, so we're getting down into that near the crunchy grass weather that we get a few times a year. I guess it is getting to be that time. Late July. July and August are crunchy grass time. We occasionally have that. At any rate, we won't get down below freezing much. Other than that, yeah, not much. Of course, New South Wales, well, Sydney, Greater Sydney, which at this point includes Central Coast and Wollongong, so about 6 million people, is under lockdown at the moment and will be until the 9th, which is, what, Friday? They were very worried that the Delta variant was starting to get out of hand, and Australia's policy is zero tolerance. We try to run at zero cases of COVID. So they decided to lock down New South Wales. I've heard numbers like 17 cases today, but I don't know whether that's a real number or whether that's a number they're concerned with. They don't release the numbers until later, so I'm thinking that it's probably not a real number. But at any rate, it's going to be something in the range of 17 to 20 to 30, something like that. So we shall see what the number is when it comes out. Let me reset for a second. Yeah, I also rushed out to get the Pfizer vaccine. It turns out you can register for it online, and once you register for Pfizer, they don't care. you just show up, and they show them your Medicare card and the Q code that they've given you, and they vaccinate you. They don't really care that you weren't really qualified for the Pfizer to begin with. So technically, I was supposed to get AstraZeneca, but again, doesn't really matter. Once you're signed up, you're signed up, and the system allowed me to, so that was fine. I'm fully vaccinated. It's been more than 2 weeks now, so I should be fine out there. But otherwise, I think that the statistic now is 4% of the population, which is a very, very low percentage. And another maybe 20% has gotten one shot. And the reason is that those people obviously are probably AstraZeneca, and the waiting time between shots for AstraZeneca is something like 12 weeks. So we have a very low vaccination rate here. Anyway, thank you so much for taking my check-in. VK2DY, back to net.
Well, you're very welcome, as usual, Robert. I'm thinking the goal here was to have 70% by today, and they missed that. Although I think they did, if you dice the numbers a little bit differently, I think they got 70% of adults 30 and over. So I suppose they could claim that as some sort of a moral victory or something there. But I don't know what else to say about the people who are turning it down. So I won't go there. I understand, though, some other countries that you would think would have been like even ahead of the United States, in particular places like South Korea and Japan, evidently, the percentage vaccinated figures there are also extremely low, even lower than your 4%. I think I read that Japan was like 1%. So I don't know what's up with that either. Crazy stuff. So let's see here. I see N4RNW, Harold, has joined us. But he may be listening to the little recording there, welcoming him to the conference. So I'm going to wait a moment and then invite him to join us here. And also anyone who's on the HAM conference, we'll get to you in a minute here to ask for additional check-ins. So I think Harold has had time to listen to the recording, and I can say welcome to our net, Harold. We don't have a topic this week, but we've been talking about the ever-present topic of the coronavirus pandemic. So if anything interesting is happening down in Florida there about regarding coronavirus, or anything else you've got on your mind there. I'm thinking this is going to be a weird net because it's happening on the 4th of July. So whatever you've got to say, Harold, it's your turn. AB9FJ here.
Well, how about that? Good evening, Wayne, Reg, and all the rest on there. Gosh, I just jump in to see if anybody's out there, and I get front and center. Well, happy Independence Day. Happy 4th of July to everybody. I'm blessed and happy to live in such a great country, and I am unashamed about it. Spread it around the world. Down here in Southwest Florida, if you've looked at a weather map lately, the projected path of that Hurricane Elsa is supposed to come up and be not too far west from us. So there are tropical storm warnings out for our part of Florida. And I'm sure as the thing progresses further north, it's going to generate more tropical storm warnings up the coast north in Florida. Hold on. Right, so that's supposed to affect us starting very early Tuesday morning, I believe Tuesday about 2 o'clock a.m., and then it should be even with us about 2 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday. And we're all stocked up, but I'm not too concerned. It's just going to be about 60-mile-an-hour winds. And that's it from here in Southwest Florida. It's not too much on the coronavirus topic, but that's what's our concern down here in the southwest corner of the state of Florida. Okay, back to you, Wayne, and thanks for calling on me. N4RNW.
Yes, you're quite welcome there. And that reminds me that there was an interesting thing on the news that you may have heard about, that condominium that partially collapsed recently. And I guess they've made the decision that they're worried that the hurricane will bring the rest of it down. And so they want to kind of bring it down in a more controlled manner before the storm gets there. So I feel sorry for all those people who survived the collapse and were evacuated from their homes, and now they're going to get to watch their homes be demolished in front of them. I don't imagine that they're letting anybody go in and recover their possessions or anything. So it's going to be like a fire or something, you know, or a hurricane disaster, right? So anyway, that's kind of a sad thing happening there. So, now it's time to call for any additional check-ins. All you folks out there on the Ham Conference, this is the SDF Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net.
RNW, recheck.
Yeah, go ahead, Harold. The neighbors are starting the fireworks already. It's only 7:30 here.
Yeah, hope I didn't step on anybody by rechecking. But, your comment on that condo that partially collapsed over there, yeah. They're not letting anybody, from what I've heard, even go back into the part that's still standing to get their possessions. And boy, you have to imagine all their jewelry and maybe money and computers. And I've even heard of people that have had to leave their pets up there. I don't think they would evacuate leaving their pets, but maybe they were out for the night and hadn't returned home yet. And here comes the thing crashing down, and they can't get up in there. So definitely right. They're not letting anybody in that section that's still standing. And last I heard, they're going to have to bring that down. It may come down on its own, but it wouldn't take a hurricane, but I think they're going to bring it down intentionally. N4RNW, Wayne.
Right. Yeah, thank you for the comment, Harold. Right. So, not hearing anybody else from the Ham Conference, unless we have some more chit-chat among those of us here, I think I'll probably wrap the net pretty soon here. So, any more check-ins or rechecks, please call now.
Just a re-chicken, VicHJQ.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
People don't know, there's a another new version of Echolink I just installed this morning, actually. I was a couple of versions behind. I think I was on 109, which was released in March, and then there was another one released, and then another one released first of July. 203 or whatever the version number is. Anyway, I've just loaded it on, and yeah, apparently they've updated the audio again. Not that it sounds any different here to me, but I can't see anything different other than the playback for the files. They used to use 800 hertz mono, which was a real pain. Now they've basically you can run any format, I think up to 32 bit on it, which is good, because I used to do a the early broadcasts I used to have to edit the file in Audacity and then convert it to a an 8K mono so it would run on Echolink, and it was a real pain. So anyway, a couple of updates. So if people are interested, just go to the Echolink website and download the latest one. It'll just overwrite the existing one. It takes you like, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, and got the new version loaded. What else? Yeah, that's about it. Sun's coming up over the hill. It looks like it's going to be a nice day. Still only 6 or 7 degrees. And 16 cases for Robert, 14 known and 2 unknown cases. And apparently a child in a school in Queensland's got it as well, which is not good for the kids to get COVID. Anyway, everybody stay safe. Thanks for running the net, Wayne. And don't know where everybody is today, 4th of July. So, yeah, cracker night. That's what I was going to mention. Yeah, we're not allowed to have crackers over here. I think the only state is Northern Territory, which is still legal. But we used to have a ball when I was a kid having cracker night. We had this big, hang on, just do a quick reset. Where we live, we had this humongous big paddock in front of our place, which is now, of course, full of houses. And it used to be a swamp there, so I don't know how these houses are surviving with all the water running through there. But anyway, nobody told them there was a swamp there. And we used to shoot these skyrockets. My dad used to go down to Melbourne, and he used to work on the railway, so he'd be up and down all the time. And I said, make sure you bring us back some crackers and skyrockets. And he brought us back these humongous skyrockets. And I said, where are we going to shoot those? He said, oh, you just put them in a bottle and shoot them over into the paddock. So we're letting them off. And anyway, we finished letting them all off. Started walking back inside. And the paddock caught on fire. So we're running down there with buckets of water trying to put the damn paddock out. What a classic. Oh, boy. And then we did another one. We had this thing called penny bungers. I don't know if you know what they are. They're big, big, were they red? I think redskins. But these penny bungers must have been, I don't know, 3 or 4 inches long and about, I don't know, half inch in diameter. Anyway, we decided to put it in the neighbour's letterbox to see what it would do. And we thought, as this long letterbox was probably about 12 inches long and had a little flappy lid on it. We thought, oh, I'll put a penny bunger in there, light her up, and of course it'll just blow the lid up. Of course, what it did was blew the the rear end out of the letterbox. Oh, boy, that wasn't a good look. And then we used to put it in cow dung. And I said to my mate, I'm like, just go over there and see what's going on with that firecracker. Why is it going off? And bang! And SHIT went everywhere. Thanks, Wayne.
Yeah, I guess you could not get away with that nowadays, right?
There's too many laws these days. I mean, we used to carry guns and ammunition down the street. We used to do clay target shooting at school and carry the gun on the bus. Oh, boy, yeah, no, you can't. If you look at somebody the wrong way these days, they lock you up, Wayne.
Yep, I get it. Well, I think it's probably about time to wrap it up here. We've been going for about 35 minutes here, so that's a healthy length. I was just thinking, you know, some people might think that I'm rushing the net along there. I'm kind of a business-oriented net control. I get that from being with the emergency management at the ARES kind of school of thought there, that you know, we're here to get information transmitted, not to dilly-dally and chit-chat so much. So but you know, I can modulate that to some extent. So for this net and for others that are more of a social thing rather than a business thing, but there's still the urge to, you know, don't fill or don't have a lot of dead air, don't waste time, kind of get things done and move along. So if you think that I should slow down and encourage more back and forth, chit chat, rag chewing kind of thing, let me know and I can try to lean more in that direction. Otherwise, I'll try to keep it short and sweet. So, where's my script here? Well, let me, one more time, anybody out there want to check in or have a comment or a recheck?
Another quick comment, Wayne, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's your net. Run it how you want to. You know, people have different ways of running nets. Even people have different ways of taking check-ins. Some people take them one at a time. Some people take a heap at a time. And people run nets different ways. So run the net however you want to run it. It's good for us, Wayne, over.
Okay, you were talking kind of fast there, and I'm not sure how that I copied you correctly there. So would you say that again, that some people take check-ins one at a time, and some take a bunch at a time, and something about the way I do it?
Us Aussies, we've got to speak really quick, Wayne, because we have to get it all out in one go, because like, we don't have enough time to talk. Yeah, well, I mean, we do lots and lots of nets here, you know, 10, 12, 14 nets a day sometimes. And lots of different net controllers have different ways of running nets. One of them, the PSRG, which I think do three or four nets a day, usually just take them one at a time. And I said, why do you take check-ins one at a time? He says, oh, well, you know, we acknowledge the person, we go on to the next one. And I don't know, I'm for the method where you just take a heap of check-ins and try to scribble them down and then spend half an hour trying to work out what all the call signs are. So different methods for, you know, different horses for courses, I suppose. Understand you're used to running Aries and like emergency traffic, which is good. You know, get the message across. Don't dilly dally. Password in for information, and then you know, move on. You know, that's all good too. So basically, what I was trying to make the point was that run the net how you want to run the net, because you're the net control, Wayne, over.
Right. Well, I'm not the the dictator though of the SDF ARC net. I'm one of a group, although, I mean, Matt has been kind of unavailable lately, likewise Chris and Michael. At better times, we would have like, you know, three or four of us taking turns, and I wouldn't be every week. So I don't want people to get the idea that the way I do it is the only way to do it. Every net control has latitude to do things a little bit differently here.
Yeah, from Beck Atreus, well, I agree 100%. I mean, I run stacks of different nets, and we even do the Aris net for the ISSS, and I ask for check-ins, and I just get a pile-up of like 10 or 20 people in one go, and then I say, look, hang on, guys, the only way we could do this is come one at a time, I'll acknowledge each individual station and go to the next one, otherwise you just end up with a dirty, great big pile-up. So if you've got heaps and heaps of people there, you know, you've got to sort of put some decorum into the check-ins. If you've only got a couple there, probably doesn't matter. But the thing is, whoever's running the net has control of the channel, the frequency, the mode, the whatever, and bear it for that time, because basically net control is net control. That's what they're there for, to control the net.
That's right. For the space of that one net, I am the dictator. Now, next week, it might be somebody else with completely different rules. And I just wonder, I know that in some nets, when they have, you know, tons and tons of check-ins, I think in particular Connie Ballantyne's D-Star net in the early days, she would, you know, ask for check-ins based on the first letter of your suffix. So she would say, you know, like A through F. And if your call sign, like my call sign, the first letter of my suffix is an F, so I would be in that group. But somebody else, you know, whose suffix was, you know, S something something, they would have to wait for when she got around to them. So that's one way that you can kind of spread out the pileup.
You'll some net controllers just take the last three letters. Legally in Australia, we can't just say HJQ. We're supposed to say our total call sign. So I think, who did I mention that to? I think on the SCARS net they were just taking that, and I said, well, legally we can't just use our last three letters. Not that it probably matters, you know, the authorities probably wouldn't be listening here anyway, so they've changed it now to saying, if you're outside the US, please use your full call sign. So all good, but I mean, what all this is about is basically training for emergencies, so that if you've got an emergency situation, you can basically run a net and pass traffic. Although it's a bit different over there in the States. You guys, you know, you utilise ham operators for emergency services, you know, first responders and that. They don't in Australia, and I don't know why. Maybe because they want fully trained people on the system, but basically, we have an emergency service called WISEN, which stands for the Wireless Institute Civil Emergency Network, I think it stands for, but they very rarely use them for comms there, Wayne, over.
Okay, well, this is interesting, but I probably should finish off the net here before we go too much longer with this. So one more time, are there any other stations out there who have been waiting to check in or recheck for this week's SDF Amateur Radio Club net? Okay, so this concludes this week's SDF Amateur Radio Club net at 0043 Zulu. If you would like to continue the conversation, well, we'll hang around here for a little while, but you can also join the AfterNet in the SDF DMR talk group number 31650, or you can look for us in COM on the SDF. This is Net Control Station AB9FJ 73.
And I guess the net has concluded. Ham has disappeared. And for R&W, Mr. Harold, how are things with you, sir? You're getting all ready for a storm and button the hatch.
Hey, Reg. Happy, 4th of July. I don't know what you folks celebrate over there in Australia, but happy day anyway. That storm should be... let's see, the latest weather map shows the heavy winds are supposed to start 2 o'clock a.m. on Tuesday morning, which would be 2 p.m., I think, Tuesday afternoon, your time. And then 12 hours later, the eye of the storm should be even with us, although it's out west a little bit into the Gulf. And I don't think they know exactly where it's going to end up, but yep, we're all stocked up. Going to charge up all the radios, all the flashlights, all that stuff tomorrow. And I don't expect there's going to be too much of a problem. And for RNW.
And for RNW, VK6BQQ. Well, we'll hope for the best. By golly, just make sure your batteries are charged and all your paperwork's in a sealed envelope and all that good stuff. Well, you know the routine. Anyway, these things are not strangers to you folks down there, that's for sure. But anyway, yeah, we had a good pileup over the weekend with that VK100 AF. That worked out pretty good. They got quite a website there and a few QSL cards that you can print off. I printed a couple of them off, but I don't have a colored printer, so I'm going to have to put some of them on a stick and go to the local, I guess, the stationary place and get some colored ones. But anyway, we had a good turnout, I thought. Got a meeting today with the boys from Wireless Hill. There's a half a dozen of us going for a coffee at about 1 o'clock. My wife has to go to the accountant today, get the tax in and get her money back, whatever. So, a bit of a busy day, and it's been raining. My goodness, everything is drenched here. N4RNW from VK6BQQ.
Yep. Death and taxes, they say. Yep, I think they extended ours, let's see, it's normally April 15th, and then they made it May 15th. So, yeah, I've got a friend who did ours. And she did a very good job, so it's always good when you get stuff back. Yeah, that was a good net you had there on Friday night. And I thought I heard Tara check in there, but she was out of her home base as far as I could figure, so she couldn't do the net. But, you couldn't make the Lancaster bomber, but there's always the future.
And for R&W, VK6BQQ, well, thanks to Mr. Corona there, things got closed up, but I understand they're open again today. And we have made arrangements with the powers to be there at the museum that if we have a special on the go, we have the opportunity of jumping in the link. So it's an open situation at the moment, which is good. You never know. We'll get there again. R800 weeks in there. By golly, that was a good deal. Had quite a few folks, so maybe we'll get another situation that we can broadcast from inside and get a few folks with us and see where we go. But anyway, as I say, a meeting today at 1 o'clock with the boys from Wireless. We'll review what was done and so on and so forth. This thing's been widespread across Australia. Started out in March with a flyby and all sorts of dignitaries and so on and so forth. I don't know how many thousand calls they've got between all of us, but anyway, it's a pretty good deal. 100 years for the Air Force. Good on them.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. That's pretty neat. Yeah, I always get suggested videos on YouTube about C-5As and 747s and A-380s. I thought I heard Emirates is going to buy more 380s and keep those flying. But I check into a net on Thursday nights that's located up in Tennessee where my wife and I go to visit her brother and family once or twice a year, and I get on the net with the radio instead of Echolink, but from down here I use Echolink when they have it up, and strange thing, you know, they kept the check-ins going and all the conversation going, so it never would release Echolink, so I'd have the transmit button so I could get in. So I'm the remote observer, and I passed along that little bit of information that if they call for Echolink users, give it a couple seconds so it drops, and then that causes that transmit button to be able to be seen on my end, and then I can punch it and get in. N4RNW.
Yeah, that's the whole secret when you hook up Echolink. You know, it's a one-way situation, and when somebody ties it up, no one else can get in. Anyway, it is what it is. We've been fairly fortunate with the way the nets have been running. And as I was mentioning over the past weekend, why we burnt up a few stations here and there. So we had to go about letting people know, which I figure they should know, if you got a repeater on and it's not heavy duty, why, we're going to burn the thing up. And we have. So, it's all about the way they sync, I guess. You know, repeaters have a duty cycle, and the only ones I ever seen that can go 100% is the big PAs that are on the Motorolas and the GE commercial repeaters. Over the years, they've decided to come out with things like fusion and whatnot, and they rate the thing at 100 watts, but it's only about a 10% duty cycle, and they go up pretty fast. I think here in Australia, the clubs, they had two or three of those fusion repeaters, and I think all of them are off the air now.
Yeah, I've heard that terminology, but it's all new to me, so I don't understand. Oh, I can't even repeat it. You've mentioned it, the digital type of radio, DSLR or DS something or other, and fusion and all that. Yep, I hear it so infrequently that I don't have a chance to study up and figure out what it is. But I thought I heard Michael talking about on Friday night about having to get permits for having conferences on certain nodes, and I didn't get an earful enough to be able to understand that either. N4RNW, Southwest Florida.
Yeah, VK6BQQ returning. Well, that's all about the conferences, that's right. You know, for a conference, they pay $40 to that Echolink management. And with our setup here, the TechLink basically came on board because of my nets and a little confusion between Echolink and IRLP management. So Michael come up with the conference. And right now, because he was involved with Handyham, Conference. He managed that, so they're allowed to be in. Georgia Conference is maintained and looked after. They have a bunch of repeaters throughout Georgia and Alabama. So it's controlled. Ham's controlled. And the problem was a couple of other conferences come in are not controlled, and I guess there was some confusion. So it's been stated that if you're going to connect up to our conference, you know, you need permission. And if you get the permission, you will monitor the network in case something happens, which is only right. So when these other conferences come in, you can't see who's on there without special programs, and Michael just didn't seem to want to do that. So I think it's a good way. You know, we lose a few conferences here and there, but there's reasons for everything.